In 1966, Time magazine asked, "Is God dead?" Now best-selling author Eric Metaxas takes that famous question and turns it around when he asks, "Is atheism dead?" In his bestseller titled, "Is Atheism Dead?" Metaxas offers a provocative answer as he shows atheism to be not only implausible and intellectually sloppy, but also demonstrably ridiculous. Get your copy of "Is Atheism Dead?" available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 5th day of March, Sunday, 2023. And folks, boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. The title of the message was "Our God, Our Victory; Their God, Their Defeat." And here today we have, there seems to be so much anxiety amongst a lot of people out there. People don't like the way things are. We've seen America go from being a great, great nation to one that's not so good anymore. America was great because she was good, but she's not good. We've got the deep state. We've got antichrists in the White House, literally Satanist in the White House, folks, and the entire Democratic Communist Collective have their official, unofficial church today is the Church of Satan. They have gone totally evil, and we see a hatred towards Christ and a hatred towards Christians, and so people are very, very concern nowadays, and a lot of anxiety, and I keep hearing, it can't get much worse, can it, Pastor? It can't get much worse, can it? The question being asked over and over and over, ever more frequently nowadays. Now, of course, the question refers to the total degeneration of our society. Knowing full well the absolute perfect accuracy of the biblical prophecy, folks, God's word, the Bible, it is the absolute authority. The word of God, okay, that I have right here in my hand, is the absolute authority on all the earth. And here's some, knowing full well the accuracy of biblical prophecy, that things would morally, spiritually, and physically degenerate, yet still we weren't ready for it to happen so quickly. I don't think anybody was ready for to see how rapidly things happen, although we were told it would happen. We were told over in Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 and 4 that in the later times what we're seeing is exactly what the Bible said we would see. Knowledge would be increased, things would speed up, everything would happen at a faster pace. So, of course, the biblically literate of my generation, growing up back in the 1950s, they knew the evil day or the times of sorrow spoken of in the scriptures would someday come about. We knew it was coming, but never imagined that it would occur so rapidly. It seemed like it just really started back in the 60s, right at the beginning of the 60s. It seems like it started moving at a faster pace with the hippie movement there. Had we been warned of such a future, most of us would have thought, well, we're going to live a nightmare. Now, we could never imagine that we would live to see the day America would become as the great whore of Babylon. We never would have believed that we would see the day when the abominable, what God's word, the Bible, refers to as an abominable things, the unclean things, would become the normal in America. And it has been. It has become. The sins of abortion, the sins of euthanasia, of LGBTQ, which they flaunt. They flaunt this sin with what God's word, the Bible, calls an abominable thing, an unclean thing. They're pushing it. They're pushing it on the children in the public school systems. Even Fox News, is, you know, which considers themselves to be conservative, well, at least part of it. I've heard professing Christians on Fox News say it's referred to as a good thing that LGBTQ can be accepted. No, it's not a good thing. It's a horrible thing. And God's word, the Bible, calls it an abomination. You've got transgenders. You've got trans species now. You've got pedophiles. You've got drag queens. Who would ever thought that people would be brought so low that parents would degenerate to the point where they would expose their little children to drag queens? Yet we've got Millie in the department and Austin promoting, in the Pentagon, promoting drag queens. Whores of every kind. We have today, whoredom is so rampant. You've got religious whores. That's the World and National Council of Churches. You've got political whores. Well, the entire Democratic Communist Collective. You got corporate whores, all of the so-called woke corporations out there today, Coca-Cola, all of them. In fact, we've sent out lists listing these. You've got military whores. We just mentioned Austin and Millie. You've got judicial whores. Oh, boy. What a corrupt. Look at our so-called Department of Justice. Merrick Garland is as corrupt can get. He is as crooked can get. Here now, what they're doing. Do you see there in New York City, they're paying Antifa and burn, loot, and murder. They're paying them thousands of dollars for burning, looting, and murdering. In New York City, what are they doing? They're going after this very, very dirty, very, very dirty, very, very crooked cop, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, is going after pro-lifers, setting up a special department of investigation for those that were intimidating or going to the Supreme Court justices' homes. That wasn't the pro-lifers there. That was burn, loot, and murder. That was Antifa. Oh, they're not investigating them. No, they're investigating pro-lifers. They're not investigating the corrupt, the very corrupt porno pushers, pedophile school boards, the pornography in school books. They're not going after those people for molesting the children mentally. No, very corrupt, very dirty cop, Merrick Garland, Chris Wray. They're going after the parents of those children for trying to stop these corrupt, completely corrupt school boards from abusing their children with pornography. And so here you've got hot wife whores, hot data, one of the major things. I just saw a program when they were talking about, I was totally amazed at this, because it used to be that those that got divorced, it was 50-50 who would initiate the divorce. Half the time it was the man, half the time it was the woman. See, back in those days, only men and women married each other. Back in those days, a much better time. There was sanity, and it was much cleaner, much cleaner. And so when you had a marriage, it was only between a man and a woman. Well, I got news for the left out there. It still is, because God gave us the definition of marriage when he gave us the institution. And marriage can only be between a man and a woman, and what they call marriage, God calls sin, judgeable sin. The wages of that sin is death. And so you've got these hot wife whores, where now I just saw this report that 80% of the divorces are initiated by the women, or by the wives, and if they're college educated with degrees, it's 90%. That goes to show you exactly how accurate God's word, the Bible, is when he talks about the enemy always attacking women in the area of discernment. They're always the first to be beguiled. Once when Ronald Reagan was president, he was asked about the American policy with the Cold War with Russia. And he says, here's our policy. We win, they lose. Well, even though to a very great degree he was absolutely right, he still could not say that with complete certainty. It could have gone the other way. We as Christians can say with complete certainty when it comes to our war with Satan and the woke progressives. We can say it's settled law. It was settled in heaven. We have already won. And, they have already lost. The opposition, they just haven't figured it out yet. God's laid it all out. His record is 100%, and it's happening, coming soon. To a planet near you, right here on this earth, we're going to see exactly that happens. It all ends. And this is why we're going to take a look at why we really have no reason when people have to be so absolutely worried the way they are. There's so much concern and so much anxiousness out there. But folks, we win this thing. God says it's as good as done. Okay. We just got to complete the process. And so with that, I want to start tonight in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 25. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, and he hath established it. Now, here, this God that created the earth and established it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father, when it says, for thus saith the Lord, God the Father gives the marching orders. Folks, we see this from Genesis to Revelation. It's the same. The Father gives the orders. The Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power. And so here he's referring to God the Father as making the statement that God himself that formed the earth and made it and hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God created the earth to fulfill his divine purpose. It was to be a habitation for man. Everything that God has done has a divine purpose. God is totally alone in his deity. God alone is the one and the only potentate, meaning almighty. Now, he took 6 days. He took 6 days to prepare the earth for man in order to set a pattern for man's work week. The earth was not perfect, no, in the sense of being finished until God said so at the end of those 6 days. And then he says there again, I have not spoken in secret or in a dark place of the earth. I said it not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Now assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the world of the great graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. Well, he's talking about those, the idolatry. And, you know, today, even today, they're still building these statues. I mean, ugly, ugly things. And he's talking about paganism, which there is more paganism today than ever. Some of their idols are different. They actually today have what they call rock stars or athletes that they turn into idols. And then you have those out there who've turned themselves, these billionaires like George Soros, who has turned himself into professing to be a god. And then you have these others like Oprah, who has professed that she alone is the source of her salvation. You know, she can do that with all her money. Boy, Oprah and George Soros and Obama, now they're all in for an extremely rude awakening. Extremely rude awakening. Tell ye and bring them near ye. Let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from the time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Well, again, he's saying what we all know. That there's one deliverer, one Messiah, one Savior. And that's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Look unto me and be you saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God. And there is none else. He keeps making that point, folks. There is no other. And again, you have all of these people out there professing themselves to be gods. Klaus Schwab said he will live forever. I don't think so, Klaus or whatever. I don't think so. But today it's more blatant than it's ever been today. I have sworn by myself. The reason he's sworn by himself is there's no one greater to swear by. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Well, again, God says that every knee will bow and every tongue will profess that God is Lord. He is Lord. And again, you know, that going back to the title, you know, of this message, you know, our God, our victory, their God, their defeat. And this is, we've come to that place in the nation where the nation is so divided. And like I said, today, the unofficial, official religion of the Democratic Party or the Communist Collective or the woke or the progressives, whatever you want to call them, is Satanism. They're openly now adopting the Church of Satan. And many of the, in the public schools now are allowing satanic clubs in there. He says, surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against them shall be ashamed. And the Lord shall In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and show glory. Now I want to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And again, this is why what we're looking at here is by the absolute, the only one and only, just like God is the only potentate, there's only one absolute authority, and that's his word right here that we're reading from. And if we go over to Colossians chapter 1, this is why, again, we have no reason to be anxious. Again, the battle has literally been won. We just have to complete the process. In Colossians 1, we read, "Who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature?" Here now, you know, this one verse right here, this is a really, really clear affirmation of the absolute deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is whatever God is, spiritual, omnipotent, omniscient, holy, all the attributes of the eternal God is found in Christ, okay? Now, the word image there in the Greek is icon. And that conveys the meaning of Jesus. Christ represents is very God. Yes, indeed, very, very God. Okay. And so, he that has seen him hath seen the Father, John 14:9. So, here, God is, in essence, invisible, John 1:18. But we see all of his attributes, all of the attributes of God in Christ. And so, here he goes on to say, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, and the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence." Well, here it's interesting, because that word consist in the Greek is sustaino, which where we get the word sustained. And so here, in other words, everything that the Creator created, everything on the earth, okay, is sustained by the Creator God. That's right. And so what is he doing? He's conserved. Everything is held together by him. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. Some years ago, we used to do regular programs years ago. Oh, back in the 90s, I think it was, where we had nuclear physicists on a regular basis. Every few weeks, we'd have a nuclear physicist on, and they would be talking about all of what is happening, what is new, what they know, the different dimensions. They really like to talk about the different dimensions. And so that's one of the things they were talking about, was that the fact that here, according to all of science that they have, they don't understand why everything just doesn't blow apart with our molecular makeup, with our atoms and the protons and the neutrons and how things work. They would say they just don't understand. There's an invisible force. There's an invisible force holding us together in our molecular structure. And just the same thing happens with the entire universe. All of the planets, the Earth, the orbits, there's this invisible power out there that's holding everything together. Well, that's exactly what you see. Those people that we knew that 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Paul, he was not confused about what that invisible force was. It was very, very clear. And that's what we just read here. What that invisible force was. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It means all things are being held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things that he might have preeminence. Now, folks, when you think about this, everything, again, he consists. Every little electrical impulse, every heartbeat, everything that happens in our lives has been pre-planned by God. There is an intelligence there that is so extreme, and it's such an extreme intelligence, it's so far beyond our comprehension, that it will take us millennial, many, many years, once we get to glory, those of us that have called upon the name of the Lord, we'll have all of eternity to learn all of these things. But it will probably take all of eternity for us to learn so much about God's infinite power. And so, I want to turn over to Matthew 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, I think I'm going to have to take a swig of my... I've got lime water tonight here. And wet my whistle. This is the third time today I'm preaching this message. I wanted to say that we had a memorial service for our dear brother Kevin Miller, who went home to be with the Lord on the 28th of February. And it was really a good memorial service. It really was. That all of the people had so many memorable things, nice things, eulogies for Brother Kevin. Because, well, everybody liked Kevin. Kevin was a fellow that was, he's just a very likable fellow with a real servant's heart. And it was good that his family could be there for this, in doers of the word church. And then afterwards, we had such a super meal. I'm going to tell you, I could not be more pleased with the ladies in our church than I am. I mean, we have such a group, a wonderful, wonderful group of ladies, the doers of the word church. I love every one of them. I tell you what, I've been so blessed with those ladies, so blessed. And boy, I'm going to tell you, can they cook? Wow, can they cook? And they really put on a great, great memorial dinner in Kevin Miller's honor. And again, like I said, I couldn't be more happier with the ladies than I am with those ladies in the church. They're real ladies. Real ladies today, folks. They're not feminist. They're not the squat. They're ladies, real ladies, which are, well, today, they're in a super minority, but I praise the good Lord that they're the majority of doers of the Word Baptist Church. And again, like I said, I'm very thankful for those ladies, every one of them, and to be married to one for 55 years. Now, I want to go over to Matthew 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, I wanted to start with verse 22 all the way through verse 26. And we read this. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, why was this young man sorrowful? Well, he was sorrowful. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth, up what I lack. And Jesus said to him, listen, this is why he was so sorrowful, folks. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Whoa. And then the young man said, and saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, he came to a test there. Ask yourself this. Now, if we didn't know what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got a history of God. And I'm thinking, well, today, with all of the knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the history, your prosperity preachers today, if given the same opportunity, it's pretty evident that they would go away unhappy because they don't want to give up all those material things out there today. I can't imagine Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or Griffo Dollar or any of them going and selling all of what they have and giving it to the poor. I don't think Kevin Copeland would sell any of his three jets there to give the money to the poor, right? And so, but knowing if the Lord had instructed to do that, well, here, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now remember, those people today, with these billionaires, you've got all these billionaires, and they think that their money as billionaires can make them little gods. Now, here, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Remember, there was a common belief in those days amongst the Jews that people were rich and blessed with wealth because God loved them, and the people that were poor were poor because God didn't care so much for them. That was a common belief. And so now he's telling the disciples heard this, and they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Well, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So now you say, wait a minute. Don't we see plenty of examples in the scripture of wealthy men who we know that were saved, that we're pretty sure were saved, right? I mean, Abraham and Job were the wealthiest men in the East. They were very wealthy. And we know that both Abraham and Job are saved. And then, well, King David. Now, King David at times was a rascal. He messed up like a lot of us, but he was a man after God's own heart. And King David was a very, very wealthy man. And then Solomon at one point was the wealthiest man in the whole world at his time, and we're pretty sure that he made it to heaven, right? And so say, well, then that just don't make any sense. Well, yeah, it does, because two things. One, people, millionaires, very, very wealthy people have a tendency to think that their wealth can save them. They depend in times of trouble on that. They don't call upon the name of the Lord. They don't call upon God. They, like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar stands out there. He looks over at his kingdom. He opens his arms and he says, stretches out and he says, all of this have I created. Well, God was listening. And the God says, what? You created all of this? You made this on your own? Nebuchadnezzar You're about to learn more than you ever wanted to know about eating grass, see? Yeah, up to this point, you haven't been eating grass, but you're about to learn what it's going to be like to eat grass and to grow feathers in your hair. And Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to find out that you didn't create all this. No, you did not. But you're going to realize that you're not God and that I am God. And, well, after 7 years, there was no doubt at all in Nebuchadnezzar's mind who the real God was, okay? And so here, there's an idea out there that God's supernatural ability to accomplish his goals, though, has limitations. And that's just not so. God has no limitations. And so, what about, Pastor? Wait a minute. All right, and you always hear this thing, can God make a rock so heavy he can't pick it up? These are foolish statements now. But one you hear most often is, wait a minute. It says, the Bible says, God who cannot lie. God who cannot lie. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, God speaks things into existence. Whatever God says, it becomes. It becomes, no matter what it is. Again, God speaks things into existence. And so, I guess that somehow it would have to be, well, I guess then he could speak things out of existence too then, obviously. But God is truth and righteousness. Well, I want to go now over to 139th Psalm. See, now these are all the reasons here we're looking at tonight. All the reasons why we should not give any time at all to being anxious or being fearful. Time and time, you know, people keep saying, can it get any worse? And then, on top of that, the Bible clearly states of that day and that hour of the Lord's return, knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. But people will ask me, is his return near? What do you think? What do you think? Is he coming back soon? Well, I hope so. But I don't know. But I want to be prepared. And if we go to 139th Psalm, we start in verse 7, we read this. Whither shall I go from the Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Well, here he's talking about God's omnipresent. God is omnipresent. There's no place you can go to get away from God. Now, that's an interesting thing. On my property at home, I have a pavilion. It's like an outside picnic area, a building with picnic tables and all that, a shelter. And it's called a pavilion. And actually, the word pavilion means war room. In the scripture, well, it talks about when Satan and his top generals, if you will, his mighty angels or his top generals, when they have their strategy meetings, when they strategize on how to go to war against God and us, well, it says that God is setting in. He's present. He's right there. There's no place they can go. There is no place they can go to get away from God. Now today, everywhere we go, there's cameras, more and more cameras. Well, I even have them around my house nowadays for security. I have cameras and motion detector lights. And And they're everywhere you go now. They're everywhere you go. But we're being watched from the sky, from the first and second heavens, if you will. We're being observed all the time. Not only that, but a lot of these so-called smart TVs, these big smart TVs that you have, even like the one that we use in our church to show these documentaries and that, they have cameras in them. Many of them have cameras. They have the ability to be watching you while you're watching them. Some years ago, I spoke at the Right to Life Convention in Washington, D.C., and when I stayed in this really fancy hotel there, and in the morning when I was sitting there, there was a number of scientists that were sitting with us, pastors, and we carried on a conversation, and one of them was a Canadian scientist, and he said he had done something he shared with me. He said, I've done something I wish I could have undone. He said I didn't know at the time. I was betrayed. I wasn't told the whole truth. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I developed these cameras, very sophisticated cameras, with the ability to not only record visually, but with audio too. And they were put in, they were supposed to be for specific things with the government. But he said, I found out they were put in televisions and sold at random to different households throughout Canada and he said, probably the United States too, all through here. And what happens is people don't realize, but when they're watching their television's watching them, and the camera goes back and forth, it's looking for what products they use, because the idea was they were to gain this information. If they went to Mr. Smith's house and they saw he was eating Cheerios, this would be marked, and what, you know, just the different things in the house, that he could be targeted for ads or for things, and they would sell this information to. But now, he said, and we know that a lot of these televisions ended up in motels, they ended up in people's bedrooms too, and he said, while they're watching their television is watching them. And so here again, the technology today, there's cameras everywhere watching every move that we make, and the Antichrist is attempting, and this is an attempt by the Antichrist to be omnipresent through technology. And this gives the woke-a-dope or the progressives or a very, very, very fake sense of assurance. You know, they say, look at this. The government knows everything. The government can spy on you. You can't get away from the government. The government is all-powerful. Well, folks, their technology is so very far inferior to God's supernatural omniscience. God, though he appears invisible, is in fact present everywhere. God is present everywhere. And like I said, when Satan and his generals are meeting and having their strategy meetings, God's sitting in. And then, see, we have this super advantage over the opposition there. Our God reigns. Our God is immutable. Our God is indivisible. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is the only, the one and the only potentate. There is none beside him. And so he is a God who cannot fail. And so again, when it comes to this war, remember, he's always aware of the enemy's activities before the enemies are aware of it themselves. God not only knows the future, he is the future. And I know this, a lot of this is very hard to grasp, but we've got God's word on it, and nothing is as sure as that. In fact, I want to go over to Hebrews for a minute, Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, just a couple of verses, and it's time again to take a little swig. Verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. How do you beat a God that knows what you're thinking before you do? Now here, when it talks about our soul and our spirit are so closely, they are so very closely connected and operate with such closeness that only the Word of God can define their real differences. Where, you see, the soul is who you are. The soul is your personality. Your spirit is your life force. And so, but the two of them are working so closely, and they're so closely entwined that only the Word of God knows, as it says here, can divide asunder, that can separate them. He goes on to say, again, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all these things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, folks, there you go. It's impossible to defeat God. This is why we say, our God, our victory, their God, their defeat. Their God is the God of this world. Their God is Satan. Some of them don't know him by Satan. Some of them think that their God is big government. Others think that their God is money. But, folks, your God is either the God of heaven, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Satan claims all of the others. Satan's got a claim on all of the rest. Now, I want to go to Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah chapter 54, okay, Isaiah chapter 54, starting with verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, God's immutable. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. Okay? And you have two groups of people that are chosen people, and that's true Israel and the church, the wife and the bride of Christ, the wife of God and the bride of Christ. He says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, again, this is the inheritance. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't quite understand that. Because we see Christians being martyred all the time. But it says that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Shall prosper, folks. Listen, what does that mean? That means if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, someday you're going to die. Everybody's going to die. But then everything goes good for all of eternity. In other words, you have eternal life. You become immortal. And those weapons that were used against you will not prosper, but you will surely prosper. Okay, we'll have things that Kevin Copeland could only dream about having. We'll have things that with George Soros and all of his billions could not buy, not 1 minute of. And so And again, you've got the only potentate, the one and only ultimate authority guaranteeing that. God's word, there's nothing that is a greater guarantee than the word of God. And then I want to go over to Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. There you go, one more time. You've got God's word on it, and it doesn't get any surer than that. Now, I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, we read this. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You say, well, wait a minute. I can't understand that. God doesn't have any foolishness. God doesn't have any weakness. What is he talking about there? Well, to the world, they consider that the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let me go on and read a little more. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, many a noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not to be bring to naught that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, professing themselves to be wise, like Klaus Schwab, said, you know, listening to this guy, if he only realized that what a fool he is. But he's running out of time to realize that, to make the statements that there is no God living above the clouds. There is no God out there, that God exists only in the form of man. Boy, Klaus, you're in real, real trouble. If you died today, you'd have a fiery, fiery future, my friend. But listen, you got to understand this. These people, to them, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is pure foolishness, and the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. And that's why they refer to it as the foolishness of God, the foolishness of God. But again, the foolishness of God is much, much greater than all of their wisdom, right? And folks, they don't even know what science is. I mean, look, to believe in evolution, which is a scam. The teaching of evolution is just one great big scam. Just like the teaching of this climate change. Oh, by the way, on Tuesday night, the doers are at the Metzenbaum Center in Chesterland. You're going to have quite a performance out there. And they're going to a conference at 6:30. On the so-called climate change. You're going to really hear the truth. And that's this Tuesday night. You want to really be a part of that. So he goes on. I want to go on now and just jump over here very quickly to Isaiah chapter 14. And I haven't been able to get through this whole message tonight, but Lord's willing, I'll get through it during the week, we'll manage to get through it. But let me just take a look, because remember, their God is Satan. And again, the Satanists are out there boasting and bragging. They there's false teachings that Christ and Satan were actually brothers, and that Lucifer, Satan, got a raw deal, but he's the stronger of the two. This is what they believe, folks. And again, the Church of Satan, here. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That word Lucifer means shining one, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. You've got high hopes there, Satan, very ambitious, but I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. So Satan says, listen, I'm going to be right up there with God. I'm going to be right up there, equal with God. Yea, but here's what God says. He said, God created Satan, and God has complete and total power over Satan. Satan's powers are completely limited to what God allows. And God allows him to do only what serves God's divine purpose. Right. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake his kingdoms? Well, we're out of time for tonight, but folks, again, we're living at this time, and it's a very popular thing, it's the Church of Satan. Now is this rebellion amongst the woke, amongst the progressive, amongst the Democrats. It's a popular thing now. To embrace and to bring into the public school systems and have satanic Bible studies with a satanic Bible. And folks, again, these are very, very clear signs of the last days. And I'm going to tell you, God's Word, the Bible doesn't stutter. It's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. And when you die, if you're listening to me out there tonight, you're going to die someday. And when that happens, you will end up spending eternity either in heaven or hell. And folks, you don't want to die in your sin. You see, look, this is a reality. This is an absolute. There's no chance at all that won't happen. It's going to happen. And so if I were you tonight, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, don't run out of tomorrows tonight. Don't do it. Don't think that, well, you know, I want to party hardy and live loose for a while, and then, and I've had people tell me this, when I'm ready to go, I'll get religion, then I'll call upon the name. That's not your call. The time that you're going to depart this world is not your call. It's God's call. Remember the rich man with all the silos, and the Lord said to him tonight, fool, your soul will be required of you tonight. And so, again, you don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Read it and do it. We're out of time for tonight. And I'm going to take another swig of my lime juice. But as we get at this time every night, well, how much time do I have? Well, we get to this time every night, like we do. After we've given the invitation, we tell everyone good night. We tell everyone God bless. We tell everyone always, always, always ready. Let's keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.